Hello and welcome to Post Status Draft. My name is Brian Krogsgaard. I'm here with my partner, Corey Miller. Hey, Corey.
Hey, it's good to be back on the Draft Podcast.
I know, man. It's been a minute. That's okay, though. We're here and we're here today ready to talk about remote work and some of the stuff that's affecting our work psyche, even with an audience of folks that are familiar with working independently and self-driven. Feel like we've just thrown a lot of that up in the air with COVID stuff, and we're seeing event stuff going on, even with the virtual events. So we're going to talk about some of that. This episode of Post Status Draft is brought to you by Pagely. You can go to poststatus.com/Pagely to check out what they offer for everybody. A lot of our audience should know exactly who Pagely is because they've been in the managed hosting business longer than anybody, and they help big brands scale WordPress. They really took their expertise up market, which enables them to serve their customers in a really outstanding fashion to offer you peace of mind for your website, and your company just does not have to worry about hosting whatsoever when you're running on Pagely. So go to poststatus.com/Pagely, and thanks to Pagely for being PostStatus partners. Corey, so we've got canceled virtual events now in addition to canceled physical events, and we don't know really what the timeline is like for bringing the physical events back. So I think that there's this, I wouldn't call it like a despair, but there's this lack of knowing in terms of what is next from a community sense, and which has been such an important part of the WordPress ecosystem. So you and I both feel like this is kind of the biggest thing going on right now in the space. There's other stuff too, of course, with, you know, WordPress 5.5 and people doing business and trying to keep up during uncertain economic times. But what about this side of things with the community element?
Yeah, we chose this topic because here's why it connects to WordPress community, specifically our community in PostStatus. Is, you know, most of us are not strangers to remote work and Zoom meetings and all that. Like, we're the veterans of that. But, you know, in my experience, Brian, I mean, you and I have connected over the years at these events like WordCamps. So we live in this, most of us in WordPress live in this world where remote work is a fact of life for us. But I've seen me, my friends, you, partner, everybody, the outlet has always been like, hey, let's meet at WordCamp US. Yeah. Or let's meet at Pressonomics. Let's meet at WordCamp DFW, kind of my hometown, you know, Dallas Fort Worth, my hometown WordCamp. And you know, what I'm seeing is a lot of people saying, and this is a microcosm of what happened on a bigger scale, of course, but it's isolation, like our social outlets. We can't do this with our families even, you know. So it's a big thing when there's already, I see isolationism with remote work. I hear from so many people that it's we love it. That's what we want, but there is an isolation. So now you got COVID has exaggerated our outlets. I mean, or eliminated our outlets, which are these WordCamps.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen a lot of online talk like you have about it doesn't replace it. Like Zoom chat doesn't replace it, or text chat. And I agree. There's nothing compared to being elbow to elbow to somebody and having drinks and dinner at a WordCamp or whatever it is to replace that. But I think, you know, we've got to make the best of what we have right now.
Yeah. And like you said, I mean, I think not everybody in this ecosystem is remote, but most people at least know how to collaborate remotely, even if it's not their full-time job, whether it's their side hustle or a community they're involved in or whatever. But it's when you take away these opportunities to be together in person with people that you relate to professionally. And even companies that have advocated for, Matt Mullenweg calls it distributed work. So like Automattic has team meetups all the time, and they, you know, that he's considered that in his kind of working thesis in developing Automattic into such a large company as being a big part of it is to, hey, have these in-person meetups. Like, I think it quarterly for their teams and yearly for the whole company. That's a big part of the health of a remote organization. Of course, we're taking that away for all of these companies that work remotely in our ecosystem, right. In addition to everything else, plus whatever like side stuff people did, you know, their own events or things they wanted to go to or participate in. And when you compound that, it's made it, I think, to where we do have this sense of fatigue settling in, in general, and it's translating to the virtual events, which we were excited about for a while. And then I feel like now with this cancellation of WordCamp US and maybe like different people who've been putting them on, like not seeing the responses they want, I don't really know what's going on with that. But, you know, it seems to be bleeding. This isolation seems to be bleeding into kind of all elements, aspects of people's work lives.
Yeah. Think about like before I became a part owner and joined you at PostStatus, I mean, you were like, hey, the isolation, like not having somebody just bounce stuff off of, that's a ton of freelancers in our community. Yeah. And then when we became partners, we said, we were just talking about this like 2 weeks ago. We said, you live in Birmingham, I live in Oklahoma City, we're gonna meet up quarterly in person. We can't do that now.
Right.
And so, you know, it just exaggerates a lot of things, but you're right. I mean, I hear people say that. I think it's been better. It's been not as bad for me because I've got two weekly stand-up meetings with you.
Yeah.
You know, where we don't talk about business the whole time. We're like, how are your kids? How are your kids? Hey, how the heck are you handling the facing the fact that education is not going to look like it, you know, like it,
yeah,
it normally does in the fall. Like, so we have kids very similar ages and stuff.
Why don't we dig into how people can structure their, you know, the way they relate with people? Because I think you bring up a good point, and maybe this gets into some of the fatigue that people are feeling. Like, there's a difference between hopping on a webinar and watching educational content versus sharing in a group versus a one-on-one, like kind of heart-to-heart type of talk about family that's not really much to do with business. Or maybe it's about business, but it's with someone that is going through the same struggle as you, whatever it is. There's a lot of different ways to meet online. And I think that it's easy to say like they're, you know, one is just representative of all of it. So let's discuss, what do you think are some successful ways that people can meet together online still and kind of avoid this burnout idea?
For me, Brian, it goes back to like, what do I feel like I'm missing? Is it just a conversation with an adult that understands, you know, what I'm going through? Or, you know, I'm smiling because you and I with our kids are just like, oh my gosh, it's nice to have a professional conversation. The physical thing is off the table right now for most things. You know, I saw Kareem from Crowd Favorite a couple weeks ago. We did, he was driving cross country to Atlanta and stopped by our house, and we did a socially distanced thing. But you know, the first thing I wanted to do when he got out of the car is give him a big old hug.
Yeah.
And we can't do that. That's off the table. Okay. For right now. But what do you feel like you need and are missing, and how can you do that in a form? So, you know, going back to the need-based thing for me is, what am I missing? I think I take for granted, I've got you as a partner, and I've got several other partners, and we have stand-ups every day. And it's like, I feel like we're doing life and I'm having adult conversations, and then occasionally I get to, you know, Slack somebody and we meet and we haven't talked to. I'm trying to think the person I haven't talked to in a long time that I just did, like Brady Nord from Bluehost, who runs all of WordPress there. Man, it was just good a couple weeks ago. Just like, I haven't seen him in like probably 3 years, and I used to use WordCamp US and Pressonomics as a place to see everybody in 1 year. But I'm sorry, you know, so what are you missing out on that, you know, is, I think, a first step. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's good. And for me, it's really to have an itinerary for what you're doing when you're meeting virtually, even if the itinerary is to not talk about business. Like, I talk to Brian Richards every week. We have a standing video call, and we do have some stuff where it's like business related, and we say, hey, here's what I got going on, here's what I'd like to ask you about. But we definitely have dedicated time in that where it's just like, hey, what's going on with, you know, the thing you're building or whatever you're doing over there, like, you know, personal stuff outside of business. And it's a really important component of it to me. But to know each week, like, here's what I'm going to have in this call. And it's some accountability professionally. It's a opportunity to offer my own opinion or counsel to a friend that's asking for it. And then an opportunity to catch up. And I know that's going to exist. other times it could be just like, hey, this is a happy hour with coworkers and we're all just going to hang out. And you know what? It's going to be at the end of the business day. It's going to be in business hours. It's not like, that's another thing. These things can really be, they can really wear on you if it's like, oh, I have my whole work day and then I'm expected to go to an hour long happy hour with coworkers when that's my only time of the day where I would otherwise just like go veg out. So that's another piece of advice, at least I would have, is if you're doing those type of things, keep them in the work, like in the work day for your employees so that they can really be an enjoyable time away from the work rather than feeling like, you know, social hour for work people.
Yeah, I want to rant on something you said, which is so true. We hear this thing is Zoom fatigue, and I actually just tweeted about it today because I was like, you know what? It's not. Is it really Zoom fatigue? That is not new. It's called meeting fatigue. I think most managers and leaders do not know how to run a freaking meeting. Like, you know, our conversations are fairly structured, but we get to the point. But if you do that with more than one, you know, a couple of people, the fact that it's a book called Read This Before Our Next Meeting. I posted this on Amazon. You can look it up. A mentor of mine several years ago gave it to us and we started reading and going, yes, there should be purpose to meetings. There should be an agenda. I think a lot of that is a little bit outside the bubble is my, you know, perception out of the WordPress stuff, because we've been doing online stuff and not just have meetings for meetings kind of thing. But it's the abuse of, oh, I can't see them next door, so let's, or in my cubicle or out in the office, so let's make sure we can see everybody on TV, you know, on Zoom. I almost said TV. and that's ridiculous. But I think you're right too. I get it. Like today I've got back to backs all day. Am I going to be tired? Yes, but they all have purpose and intention. So I just want to rant on that because you said it great in talking about like how to run a meeting, but they should be purposeful. Our good friend, Sherry Walling, psychologist that works a lot with a lot of founders, said, you know, a couple months ago that schedule happy hours that are just happy hours, you know, for friends, with friends and colleagues, like you said, with Brian Richards, you got that. I've got that with you all partners and other friends. Lisa Sam Wilson, we have a monthly talk. Now that was before COVID.
Yeah.
And we've had to bump it and stuff like that, but we at least like, maybe it's not every week, but once a month.
Some kind of check-in.
A check-in. And let me add one quick note. When you're talking about like a Brian Richards conversation or friends conversation, I think one key thing is to share your experiences. So you come and you say, hey, I'm frustrated. Let's say, for example, I can't balance everything. My wife's working, I'm working, we can't. And, you know, instead of giving you my advice, I share, Brian, I'm in the same boat. And then I share the truth of what we're trying to do. Instead of saying, you should do this, you should do that, I think that makes a better conversation with friends, is instead of trying to prescribe, you just share common experiences. It shows empathy and then actual experience, not you should do this. When most of us that give advice, we're like, do you really take your advice too?
That's interesting. So, I've actually heard of similar techniques when people talk about how to be there for someone in grief. So rather than saying like, I know what you're going through, or you know, you should do this, just say like, I'm here with you, you know, in terms of handling grief. So it's interesting that an approach to handling grief and an approach to communing with friends are similar in some ways. I have a concept I'd like to ask you about that I've been noodling on. And I know some teams, remote teams, have experimented with this before pre-COVID, but what do you think about collaborative work over video chat? So like, you know, when you're in the office, you can take off your headphones and just ask somebody a question, or you can walk down the hallway and have a chat about an idea you're noodling on. That you can kind of do via Slack, but it's typing, it's not quite the same. What do you think about having, say, in like a half day or something that you put aside for someone that you're working maybe parallel to in some way, like you're a similar goal, and you just kind of work together, you're on a video call, and you have eyes and ears. So if you say something, like they're going to hear it.
Yeah.
What do you think about that as an experiment?
I've actually been thinking about that for our partnership. So it was probably 6 or 7 years ago, Glenn Ansley, Lee and Ayotte were working on iThemes Exchange. And this was before some of the tools, and forgive me for the timeline, but the tools were there. And what they were doing, because they were collaborating, is they got on Slack and they muted. Or not Slack, Skype. And they muted, and they would unmute. Now, this is actually collaborating on a project, and they'd unmute when they needed to talk. And I was like, that's kind of cool. There's this feeling that somebody's there with you. And it's kind of like the walkie-talkie, you know?
Yeah.
Unmute. So I love it. I think it would be cool.
I think there's a couple of interesting things that could do as well. For like, one of the things, when I know I'm burnt out, I have this desire to be away from my desk. I still have a desire to do the work or to be with people, but it's like sometimes I'm just like, I got to go get a cup of coffee. I got to go on a walk. I got to get out of here. And I feel like if you're there with someone, that's less likely to like just burn at you while during your work day, this desire to like get up and go somewhere else. So I feel like if someone's there, it's like, it's not, I wouldn't even call it accountability so much as, you know, that it's just a togetherness that exists, and you understand you're both there. You're not like there to get onto one another if like you feel like they're slacking off or something, but it does, there's this kind of component of an office environment where you're like, okay, I'm at work and I need to stay focused and this is my job. And by the way, here's someone I can, you know, have some words with or chat with if I need to, and they're going to support me in my work day. So it's an experiment that I'm interested in trying.
Jesse Gardner, he's a longtime friend of mine. He's worked at AMC and done really good, cool projects, like particularly on like the Walking Dead and things like that. I've seen him tweet. He does co-working sessions like that. I haven't ever jumped on, but I've kind of been curious enough. This is interesting. Knowing yourself, like, I don't want to be disturbed at work. If I'm working on something, unless I have a meeting, I don't want to be disturbed. So I'm weird and different like that. But I think there are people that really feed off the engagement, and something like that could work. And I think knowing yourself, I would prefer a Slack chat to an online video just because I can juggle.
Yeah, it's certainly not the type of thing where I feel like it's certainly, I mean, if you have other meetings, you have stuff going on, or if you have like, you know, you got to be in the zone, like you're writing a blog post or an important email or a pitch doc or whatever. But there are some types of work where maybe you need headphones on to work on it or something like that. But like, you can have someone kind of come in and force a ping to you, and you know, it's no problem to put it down for a second and hear them, you know, but to just know that you're there together. I don't know. It's just something it may be a massive fail. I'm interested in listeners if they have done it before, if what they think about it, what they thought about it. And it certainly wouldn't be 100% of the time, but I'm curious, like, what if I did this, I don't know, half a day a week?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I haven't felt that big of a need to do something like a co-working, and really because I've got, you know, partner conversations all week with all you great people that I used to hang out with at work camps. I do miss you guys, hugging you and sitting next to each other and having dinner and all that kind of stuff. I did want to mention though, you know, this is where Big Orange Heart, which used to be known as WP and Up, comes into play too. Like, if you know that feeling, there's resources there in particular, and also venues like, they're paid venues, but Talkspace too. And I can't underscore enough the importance of having a counselor. I meet with my mental health therapist every other week now. There was a stretch where I was going every week, but now every other week, and just getting some perspective. So I think that's a big component in this too. But I wanted to mention Big Orange Heart. So many good resources, so many good people there, specifically for people working remote and kind of like the fact of life we're all in as a world right now is like we're isolated.
Yeah. So in a WordPress perspective, there's also, you know, at WordCamps, they've always had these contributor days and these opportunities for people to come in and collaborate in person. What do you think is possible in that sense to like get a bunch of people to collaborate together on making WordPress or having team meetings? Do you think, that seems like one of the big losses that we're having with WordCamps being canceled for me.
We used to think, okay, when you pull a team member in, I'm going to get to the word of your question, but when we pull the team in, we want them to feel like they belong. And what's one of the best way to feel like you belong is that you're actively contributing to the community you're a part of, the group. And I think those type of things would be fantastic. Like, not only are you getting the social engagement, but you're contributing, you know, that's a feeling of satisfaction of meaning and purpose that I think would be helpful. Now, does it replace the, you know, elbow to elbow thing? No, but it gets us close to it. And I think we have to be creative in how we do that. Like, we have to accept the fact this is our life right now. Yeah. And find ways. But I think there's a brilliant idea is to do the same things, find a venue to translate those things for all of us to be able to contribute.
And I've got another question for you as a manager. You know, you've managed people for a long time. So how would you recommend other managers to be on the lookout to detect when a person working with them or for them is maybe they're burnt out, or maybe you just see that their work isn't there? And like, how do you try to see that and then also guide them and you know, protect your team that way?
You know, knowing your team is the first step, knowing how people are wired, and we're all wired differently. Like if we were on a team and I knew you, Brian, I'd be like, I want you to spend the next hour reading on something completely unrelated to the work we do, like WordPress. I'd be like, just kind of knowing you a little bit, I'd be like, I want you to take a 2-hour sabbatical. Yeah. And I want you to read, you know, like if I'm sensing your burnout, 2-hour sabbatical for you, just because I know you, you like to learn, you like to grasp new stuff. And, you know, at the end, Brian, maybe you give me 2 takeaways, that's it. But like, really the focus should be take a 2-hour sabbatical on the clock. We did that some at iThemes, and it was different for everybody. You know, you can't go to a museum, but we said to our designers, like, go do a museum that you, anything, just take half a day. But I think knowing that person, like, for instance, if you know they suffer from some mental health, you know, issues, depression, particularly like right now or something, is okay. I want you to take the next hour and just walk around your house, like, get into the sun. And, you know, you have to balance the HR stuff and all of this, but if you know you're doing it for the benefit of the other, like right now, I want to pay for the next hour of your time to just get out. Do you have a bicycle? Go out and ride your bike. Like, you know, those things we all know, but sometimes need a nudge from our manager or leader to do so. Or Friday, you're off grid. I want you to unplug your router, like your internet, and like do nothing, you know?
I don't even know what I'd do with myself. So
you'd be forced to go analog, right?
I guess so. Yeah. I'd probably read a book. And you brought up something there about, you know, get up, go ride a bike. A lot of remote workers that I know, people who've worked in our ecosystem for a long time, they really are rejuvenated by just changing physical locations. So, you know, maybe they work from their home office normally, but you know, a couple times a week they go spend 3 or 4 hours in a coffee shop or something. And that's something we've really lost, is that ability to just pick up and go somewhere else for a while and find some peace elsewhere. And I think what can make that doubly difficult is if your family is home during all of this time, which they're probably is, that's even more likely right now because between COVID and summer, like it's really easy for your whole family to be home, and like you can't go escape to a coffee shop to, you know, to work in a different type of silence for a couple of hours or whatever. Do you have any advice for how someone could escape in that way? Like they still want to work, but they're looking for focus more than they're looking for just, you know, escape.
You know, we've got a nice little patio. And so sometimes we'll go out there, although in Oklahoma, it's just forbiddable, like hot and humid. But, you know, I think you and your family did it recently too, if you're able to get into like an Airbnb situation. But we just got back from New Mexico. My parents were very thankful to have, you know, access to their cabin. And so we spent a week out there, and it was just nice, that change of pace. But the other experience share is not mine, but one of our family members, they have an RV, and they parked their RV in their front yard and just worked from it, worked out of it and all that stuff.
That's good.
I think there's still options, and that's where we need to get creative. You know, coffee shops here in Oklahoma City are open right now, socially distanced and everything, but I'm like, oh my gosh. But could you go? I don't think I'd recommend anybody go necessarily to a closed space with a lot of people.
Yeah, no, that's what parks. I'm trying to. Yeah. I think parks and like just tether to your phone if you need to or something like that. I know, like, you know, it depends on your space. Like, some people don't even have a porch in peace. I know, like, for me, if my kids are here, I'm struggling because this office that I'm in is also the playroom, and it's also at the very front of the house. So I'm, you know, 15 feet from where they would want to watch TV or, like, be in the front yard. So I'd have to go, like, to the back of our house where we have a carport or something, and I'd have to go some weird places on our property in order to get away without going away.
I'd love to hear our community and our subscribers' tips and everything. And I would also say, I think those of us in virtual remote work, distributed work, are more the experts that most of our world, you know, community are grappling with. You can share some tips about what works for you. And I would encourage you to do that in our post status Slack and tweet and all that Facebook, because, you know, we probably take for granted how many people in our life don't. This isn't the norm to work from home. I like your ideas too. Like, you know, I even thought, like, what if I go home and I put on Apple TV and I just put a picture in my living room? And I just, you know, some of the screensavers on Apple TV, I'm just like, I get so distracted. I'm like, oh my God, I want to watch that as they hover over the earth, you know? But like, what if you, I don't know, virtual fireplace or something, you know, those might be some thoughts too. I haven't tried those. My kids would be like hanging on my head as I tried to do that. But
figure out some kind of way to get some serenity in your normal environment and get your normal environment situated a little differently. One for me, I mentioned, you know, this is also my kids' playroom. I swear sometimes my mood is different if this room is messy versus if it's been picked up. So for me, it's like, I really want this room to be picked up from all the toys playing in the afternoon that night, so that the next morning when I go in, it's not like I'm stumbling over wooden train tracks and dinosaurs and stuff. And that's a small thing, but it does enhance my work day.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm like harking, I'm hearing Sherry Walling in my head and, you know, on all these kinds of things is, how do you get creative with everything you're doing? And try to get a little bit. I love those tips.
Yeah. Well, I think we should just leave it there, but we wanted to come on and encourage folks encourage them to say, don't get discouraged. There are people out there. Reach out to your friends. If you feel fatigued by all the work from home and the, lack of, you know, in-person events or professional relationships. And hey, you know what? This is not a plug we intended, but the post status Slack is a great place to have an asynchronous chat related to WordPress stuff. And you can hop in there and chat with folks anytime. If you go to poststatus.com/club and sign up. And then, other than that, we just, I guess want to say thanks again to Pagely for, bringing this episode to us. Go to poststatus.com/pagely to check out everything that they've got going on, and we'll see everybody next time.